Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Now we all know that Superman, whenever he makes a guest appearance in your part of the world, we all know that he can leap tall buildings in a single bound, he can run faster than a speeding bullet. It's just the sort of things that Superman does, apparently. That's why they make movies about him and not about you and me, I suppose. But superhuman achievements are not always restricted to Superman. Here's two recent events that maybe Superman could even take notes on. Back in 2006, a Canadian newspaper reported that a 41-year-old mum living in a village in northern Quebec wrestled a polar bear in order to protect her two young children. Lydia Angio was out walking with her boys when some other kids ran up to alert them of a polar bear up ahead. Quickly telling her kids to run away, Lydia stood before the 700-pound polar bear. And it was then that she decided, perhaps without thinking too much, that she would attack this bear by kicking it and punching it. Now, apparently the polar bear didn't really appreciate this sort of behaviour and swatted Lydia back, forcing her to fall on her back. But still, the terrified mum continued to kick her legs at the bear. Thankfully for her, there was a bystander who saw what was happening and fired his rifle into the air several times to startle the bear before killing it. Maybe Americans and Canadians always carry rifles with them. I don't know. Mum Lydia came away from the little scuffle with just a few cuts and bruises, but went on to receive a national award for bravery. I'm not sure if the gun owner got an award for the best shot of a polar bear, or maybe he was called up to represent Canada in the Winter Olympics and the cross-country skiing event. Well, the second story to make Superman proud was in 2019. The Washington Post tells us about 16-year-old Zach Clark, who was outside with his mum when they heard a neighbour crying out for help. And so the two of them rushed over next door to find their neighbour's 39-year-old husband pinned underneath his car that he was repairing. Apparently the jack of the car had fallen off. Zach, a high school footballer who previously had deadlifted just over 400 pounds, moved quickly to the front of the car, lifting it just long enough for the two women to roll the squished man out from underneath the car. The wannabe mechanic came away with non-life-threatening injuries, while Zach just had a sore back and legs. True stories, and maybe there's many others about that you know about Herculean strength and fighting off fierce foes. Maybe you've even got one to tell about yourself. Now, there's a key factor that allows the human body to appear Superman-like from time to time. It's known as the adrenaline rush, when hormones surge out of our adrenal glands and into the blood and through our bodies and enable us to fight or flight, Superman style. In his excellent book, Mark Chansky describes encouragement as adrenaline for the soul. Like a hit of adrenaline, encouragement can transform someone's spirit in an instant. And as we journey on in the Christian life, we all need this steady diet of encouragement. Sometimes even some hits of adrenaline more frequently than we care to imagine. Welcome to the second Bible talk in our Meals for Maturity series on encouragement, breath from heaven. Encouragement can be just like that, Holy Spirit breathed empowerment. Encouragement can be simply defined as putting courage in, to inspire, stimulate, give hope to another. And we don't need to wait for polar bears or people trapped under cars to give it or to receive it. As followers of the Lord Jesus, we all can be people of encouragement, both givers and receivers. Well, today I want to explore the guy in the New Testament given the nickname of the Son of Encouragement. Surely with a name like that, we can learn something about what it means to be an encourager. We first meet this Son of Encouragement early on in the story of Acts. Let's hear my encouraging wife tell us the story.
Acts 4, verses 32 to 37. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
This episode in the early church, of course, stands in direct contrast to the dishonesty that immediately follows in Acts chapter 5, with Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who also sell a piece of property. But unlike Barnabas, they're dishonest and discouraging, and eventually God's judgment falls directly and immediately upon them. But back to Acts chapter 4 and our friend Joseph, a Levite from the island of Cyprus, who quickly earns the new name of Barnabas, or Barney, given by the apostles. And then we're told that Barnabas means son of encouragement. Clearly it was a character trait that stood out whenever you met this New Testament saint. His encouraging nature was there to see, whether it was through his words or his actions, or in the case of Acts chapter 4, through his generous spirit. This guy just oozed encouragement across the early church. Then the next time we meet Barnabas is in Acts chapter 9. Now, Acts chapter 9 is a significant chapter because we learn there about the incredible conversion of Saul of Tarshish, dramatically brought out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of light on the road to Damascus, while he was on the way to persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus. And God meets Saul with his amazing grace, and the rest is history, God's history, of how Saul becomes Paul the Apostle. But if you know the story of Acts chapter 9, you'll remember that it wasn't going to be easy for Saul to just walk right into the local Christian church and start and ask for a preaching gig. I mean, the elders at St. Jimmy's on First Street, they were a little worried about this guy who was persecuting the Christians just last week. The pastor of Holy Spirit Aflame Church was not about to vacate his pulpit to welcome this new convert. He too was concerned that this Saul guy might just be a false convert to Christianity. You see, the early Christians were a bit concerned, to say the least, about Saul of Tarshish and his movements among them. So enter the son of encouragement.
Acts 9, verses 26 to 31. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied.
I don't think we should be too quick to judge the early church here concerning their reluctance to embrace this new kid on the block called Saul. The Christians in Jerusalem, we're told, were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Most front doors of Christian homes and the doors of these house churches, they had the closed for lunch sign put up whenever Saul was seen walking down the road. But we can thank God for this one man, Barnabas, stepping forward. And we're told in just four words once more about the character of this son of encouragement. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him. When others lacked courage to approach Saul, Barnabas stepped up and put courage in. He walks alongside this new convert, and then he introduces him to the other apostles, basically saying, hey, Peter, hey, listen up, John, James, come over here. I want you to meet Saul, and I want you to know he's the real deal. I've heard him preach. I've heard him pray. I've seen what God is doing in this guy. Welcome him as a brother. Enroll him in your school of discipleship. Trust him. He's a brother in Christ. He's a fellow soldier ready for the battle. You see, Barnabas gives his full support, his encouragement to Saul, and pretty much has his back and his front as well. The start of Paul the Apostle and his remarkable New Testament ministry comes about because, I think, of an unsung hero who took him to the apostles. A story is told by Kent Hughes, a Bible pastor. He tells a story of a church in the US during the hippie movement of the 1960s, which also saw many people coming to faith and start following Jesus. He writes about a church in San Francisco. This was a well-established denominational church. When during one evening service, a hippie walked into this church. Now, none of the ushers greeted this guy. They didn't really know what to do with this long-haired, flower-potted, weed-smelling guy. He just walked into their nice building with bare feet and hippie clothing, and they just didn't know what to do with him. Anyway, after walking in and not being able to find a seat in this packed building, this hippie guy just decides to sit down in the middle of the aisle on the carpet, and he starts to listen to what's going on up the front from the pastor. Now, it didn't take long for one of the elders to walk up to this guy and to do something truly remarkable. One suited up, well-dressed, respected elder with his shiny shoes, he plonks himself down on the carpet in the center aisle and just sits next to this strange visitor. And the elder of the church and the hippie sit together on the carpet and they listen along to the preacher and to the preaching of God's word. How truly Barnabas-like this church elder was to welcome the unwelcomed. How truly Christ-like he was, to greet the outsider with the love of Jesus and to welcome him in. How encouraging for him, this hippie, and also for the entire church. Well, that's what Barnabas is doing here in Acts chapter 9. And then we read in verse 31, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." Well, the next time we meet Barney is in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Here, Barnabas is picked out from the Jerusalem church to go down to Antioch in Syria and to see what's happening there, because ironically, due to Saul's previous persecution efforts pre-chapter 9 of the book of Acts, we read that many Christians were scattered, and so churches were being planted with people being converted and Gentile converts at that. And so the main church in Jerusalem, the mother church, if you like, they wanted to check out the stories they were hearing from across the Roman Empire. And naturally, they picked Barnabas, this big-hearted, generous brother. They chose him to go to Antioch. Someone has said they picked a fact finder, not a fault finder. How well we need such people across our churches today. And here in Antioch are new believers. And so, of course, we read about Barney in action in verse 23. When Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And then he goes on in search of his new friend and brother in Christ, Saul. And then together they pastor and shepherd this new church for a whole year. How remarkable for the son of encouragement, along with Saul, to be the ones to disciple these new Christians and to encourage them to keep going in faith, hope, and love in the Lord Jesus. If you know the parable of the soils that Jesus tells, then no matter what your age or stage, we all need a Barnabas to come along beside us and say, "Keep going. Let that good gospel seed keep growing in you. Keep going. Don't get distracted by those shiny, bright lights of the world. God's kingdom is far, far better than that. Keep going. Let's open the scriptures together and work out what it means to be the good soil." Well, that's Barnabas in action, this time in Acts chapter 11, in a different place and in a different church, but still the same courage giver in full flight. Maybe you've heard the story about the young, unknown at the time, inventor Henry Ford, and he met the very old and well-known inventor Thomas Edison. They crossed paths at some convention in the States, and when someone pointed out to Edison that he should meet this guy called Henry Ford. And then the two men chatted away for a while, mostly about Ford's idea for this new thing called an automobile. And towards the end of their talking, Thomas Edison just slams his hands down on the table and he exclaims, "You have it, my friend. Your automobile is self-contained and carries its own power plant." Well, Henry Ford was to remember years later that encounter, and he says, "That bang on the table was worth worlds to me. No man up to then had given me any encouragement. I had hoped I was heading in the right direction, but now the greatest inventive genius in the world had given me complete approval." Well, Barnabas would approve of Edison's encouragement. The hands banging on the table is perhaps the equivalent maybe of a fist pump to keep you going. Anyone in your life you need to bang on the table for them. Anyone in your church family you can fist pump to encourage them along a little. Well, there's more to come for Barney across the book of Acts, of course. In Acts chapter 13, we find the dynamic duo of Barnabas and Saul being commissioned and sent out from the church of Antioch. And so begins the great church planting adventures across the New Testament story. And then we read across the book of Acts how God greatly uses them to see his kingdom grow. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 23, we hear how they preach the gospel and then help these new churches grow by strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Appointing elders in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And then surprisingly, or maybe not, if you've been involved in Christian service for any length of time, surprisingly, at the end of Acts chapter 15, Barnabas and Saul, now called Paul, they have what we're told is a sharp disagreement over something. And so they go their separate ways. And God's kingdom continues to grow through both their separate efforts. We're not told what the matter was that caused this sharp disagreement, this dispute, but it seems to have involved Barney's cousin, John Mark. John Mark appears to have been rejected by Paul, and he didn't want to take him anymore on any more church planting missions. So whatever the initial failure was that Paul focused on, for Barnabas, this was a moment for him to disciple this young man, to be the encourager rather than the enforcer. So the son of encouragement was there again to put courage in. And for that we should be thankful, because eventually John Mark teams up with the Apostle Peter and writes for us the Gospel of Mark. Now each of these little episodes concerning Barnabas are showing to us how he used his gift of encouragement to help others better understand and follow the Lord Jesus. He truly was breath from heaven. See, Barnabas is the type of guy who takes seriously God's word in Zechariah chapter 4, where God says, "Do not despise the day of small things." I remember when Leslie and I first planted a church here in Canberra back in 2003. We started with just three families in a lounge room, two other couples with our children, which gave us a total of six adults and eight girls. Small things indeed. But there was plenty of naysayers at the time, especially from the Christian community around us. Perhaps even more so when we decided to plant the church on a Saturday evening at 5 p.m. My goodness, the discouragements came from outside. They came faster than seagulls hurtling towards your fish and chips wrapper. But I remember one old saint getting alongside us, and he simply said to me, "Keep going, Dom. You know, if I was at your age, I'd be planting a church just like you're trying to do now." And you know what? It was just the tonic I needed to hear at the time. It was a Barnabas word. And the day of small things, of small beginnings, under God's kindness, has brought about many churches into existence and kingdom growth here in Canberra and beyond. But maybe I might have given up if not for a son of encouragement called John Baxter, with his Barney-like words, "Keep going, Dom. God's in this one, you know." Humanly speaking, without Barnabas turning up in the New Testament story, we would have no Apostle Paul, no church planting, and not much of the New Testament even written. As you study these little snapshots we're given of this Cyprian saint, it's fair to say that few Christians across New Testament days have contributed more to the advancement and growth of Jesus' church. Without the Son of Encouragement, the New Testament story is actually incomplete. How do you identify someone who needs encouragement? That person is breathing. How do you spot an encourager? Well, you look for someone who models their life on Barnabas, who of course models his life on the Lord Jesus. Can we somehow get a genetically modified version of Barnabas across our churches today? Pray for more sons and daughters of encouragement in your church and mine. Pray for more elders to come along and sit with strange-looking hippies, even on the floor of your church. Pray for more people to come along, come alongside others and say, "Keep going. God's got you and he will not let you go." Pray that God may even use you to be a Barney to someone else. Will you thank God for the New Testament story and for the little cameo appearances Barnabas has been given? He's no Superman. He doesn't wrestle polar bears or lift chariots with busted wheels, but he is a giver of courage, injecting a little bit of adrenaline into someone, putting fuel into someone's tank, breathing the breath of heaven upon others. You could do that, couldn't you? You could be used by God this day, this week, couldn't you? You could be the person who comes alongside someone else, takes them in, and introduces them to others. And maybe someone might even give you a nickname and say, "Hey Barney, good job. God's in this one. Keep going."
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.